The, we'll pick, I wanted to speak this month about somebody whose yard sale is going to be, it's the Marshal. And the Marshal lived an incredible life. Let me first tell you where I got my material from, because that's what we always try to do to make sure we have it right. There isn't much written on the Marshal. There were two, I guess, monographs written in different times. One is called Kerem Shlema by Samir Horodetsky in like 1896. Not very big, but it's a monograph. And then Simcha Asaf wrote a piece, Mashu Ala Marshal, in a collection. Both of them took almost all the material from the Marshal's works himself. The interpretations they give is obviously everyone their own, and that you can, you know, you can take it, especially Horodetsky's. I take with a lot of grains of salt, because he interprets things a certain way that he wants to, but the material itself, there's only one place to get his Marshal's Ksavim, especially from his Tshuvas and the Yamshel Shlomo. So that's where the material comes from, and I'm going to read quite a bit from his stuff. First of all, his time and his tkufa. The Marshal lived in Poland from 1510 to 1574, 73. That was the span of his life. It was a tkufa where in Klal Yisrael, it was one of the rich tkufas in Klal Yisrael. Concurrently, you had the Beis Yosef living, the Radvaz, the Maral, the Shita Mekubetzes, the Ramak, the Ramod, the Levush, the Arizal, the Sma, Kli Yoker, and the Bach. There was in 1560, all of them were alive. It's incredible tekufa. They weren't all in one place. Some were in Yisrael and some were in Eastern Europe. But let me just a little bit explain the tekufa, where, what, and when. Remember, 1510 is right after the expulsion from Spain. So the Torah center was in Spain. In Europe, there had been on and off in what we would call today Western Europe, France and Germany, a little bit sometimes in England, but mostly France and Germany. There were all sorts of thriving communities, killed out, thrown out, back and forth. It was on and off how well the Jews fared. They slowly began drifting to Eastern Europe. Eastern Europe, the mile of Eastern Europe was, it was not yet Christianized as heavily. People were very primitive, and therefore there was less anti-Semitism. The people desperately wanted the Jews, because the Jews, they developed stuff. The people there were very primitive. They farmed, but they couldn't, the commerce and industry, anything that needed more seichel, they couldn't hack, and the Jews filled in that role. So Poland was beginning to become, with the expulsion in 1490, so most of the Spanish Jews went to Turkey, but some territory trickled out Israel, and Eastern Europe began to become the dominant Jewish center. You don't hear all that much from before that, but at this point onwards, it's beginning to thrive. And of the Gdolim we listed here, the Maral was in Eastern Europe, the Levush, the Sma, the Kli Yoker, the Bach, they were all Ashkenazim, they were all in Eastern Europe, and this was the beginning of the great Kufa of Eastern European Jewry. The first yeshiva that we know of that set the tone in learning was something called, was Reb Sholem Shachner's yeshiva. Sholem Shachner was, I think, a follower of Ramah, certainly a Rebbe to Ramah. He was a Talmud of Yaakov Pollack, who was famous or infamous, depending on which side you're on, in his sheet of learning. They had, we discussed it, we spoke about the Mashal. Mashal was also in his Tkufa, Mashal's Tkufa a little bit after, also all of them the same Tkufa. He was a tremendous mefalpel with what was called the Shitas of Chilukim, where we spoke last time, we spoke about the Mashal, they would make assumptions that every single, the Havimina Maskana and the second answer and the second answer had to have different Shitas, and they would build incredible mountains back and forth with Pilpulim that had no end, and based on all sorts of assumptions like that. and what the machlokas, the first machshavah, the second tartzin, and how he answers. Everything had to be different. It was an incredibly complex system of pilpul, which demanded tremendous chrifus, but there was a snagdus of the marsha, the marshal, the maram, who are bali pshat. He was the he was born, like I said before, in 1510 in Posen. He spent most of his life. He was in. He became a rav fairly young in Austria, in Brisk, and finally ended up in Lublin, which was a big city, the big Polish center, for the end of his life. Now the Sfarim he wrote in his lifetime. He wrote an incredible amount of Sfarim. Some of it is published, many of it not. The Sfarim that we have from him published are, his most important work is called Yam Shel Shlomo. Yam Shel Shlomo was meant to be like a Shulchan Aruch, but not Lefi Seid of Simonim, it was on the Gemara. So every Gemara, every Sugya, he writes down like the Sugya, and he writes all the Shitas and Deyas and his Maskana Lalacha. Remember, Shulchan Aruch wasn't really out yet. Shulchan Aruch was a contemporary of his, and he needed to bring down Halacha L'maaseh. He wrote it on a dozen, maybe more, Mesechtes and Shas. We have it. It's Yam Shel Shlomo. He really tries to be makif all the shitas. That's one. We have tshuvas of his. We have a beer, a ha'aretz, ha'gos, on the smag, and on Rashi and on Chumash, called Yiri Shlomo, different Sfarim like that we have of his. He wrote a Siddur, which we don't. I think we have only Ksav Yad. We have quotes of it, but we don't have it. He wrote in Kabbalah something, and a few other things. He wrote all sorts of a diktuk and the Siddur he wrote. He was quite. I mean, he was makif a lot. The main Sfarim that we have from is Yam Shel Shlomo, we have his Tshuvas, and we have his Agos on the Smak, as I'd say, for Mrs. Godel, and a few other Sfarim. He was, those are the Sfarim he wrote, and he was extremely outspoken. He was a tremendous kanoi for Emes, a tremendous kanoi for Shitas, he was a big Anov. The Chidor writes about him that he had somebody come every day and give him Musa. He had a mochiach that he hired to come every day and to tell him Musa. He was a tremendous anav, but extraordinarily sharp against people. Very sharp. Let's take a look. So first of all, his shita, like Vasa Yam Shel Shlomo, where it's psak, it's like his makif a sugya with all the different inyanim, and then he paskins whatever he holds the halacha is. He holds that a person can paskin against Rishonim. It says, from the Chsimas HaTalmud onwards, you're not restricted in paskin against other people, as long as you have Rais. The only thing that's Koveh is Shas. And even with the Rambam, he argues that Rambam, he has tremendous, obviously, Harocha for the Rambam, but he argues with him. And he says he hopes that, you know, by Tchias HaMesim, you know, the Rambam will get up and he'll acknowledge, he'll prove to be right. He argues with everybody. It's interesting, the Ge'onim, he holds to be Divrei Kabbalah, and he doesn't argue with them. I'm not aware, I haven't seen him quote a place. But with Rishonim, he argues, and he says very, very sharp Lashonis. There are Sfarim that he really says very sharp things about. The Beis Yosef he had tremendous achares for, but he felt that a lot of times he wasn't right, and he argues with him. The Ramah was a cousin of his, and he was very close. They were very deep friends, but he had very sharp things to say, and so on. And he also had a tremendous musa about his dor. So let's take a look at some of the things that I wanted to say over, because I feel they're fascinating, and I'll be reading basically from inside. He has a tshuva. This is Simitas Zion. Now, what happened is he had a yeshiva, a big yeshiva, and many gdolim learned by him. But the other yeshiva in Lublin was Reb Shalom Shachner's yeshiva, and Reb Shalom Shachner's yeshiva was based on pilpul. Reb Shalom Shachner died, and his son took over. But it was a big pilpul yeshiva. The marshal was based on pshat, and worse, the Mashal was a tremendous magia. A sefer they didn't write that we have from him is called Chochma Shlomo and Hagos Abach. They took, his children, his Talmidim, took all the Hagos that he wrote on the side of the Gemara, and he dealt with Girsos, which was highly unusual. It was something no one else did in his Tkufa. He had a lot of manuscripts. He was a big Baal Pshat, and he corrected all the Shasen and Gemara and Tosfos and Rashi and so on with what he felt is right. He didn't publish it, but he learned it in yeshiva, and he actually, his children collected, and they put out the Chochma Shlomo, which is in the back of the Gemara, together to Mashah. The printers went ahead, and they took some of his Agos, they put it into the Gemara, and took it out of Chochma Shlomo, and it got to a point where you couldn't tell what's in the Gemara, what's that Agos on the side, Chochma Shlomo. Each printer did as he saw fit. And then they made mistakes with that also. They put it in the wrong place. It wasn't always very mutzlach. They would reprint parts of Chochma Shlomo. There was somebody who did an incredible work on all the printings of the Shas. His name was Rabbi Fall Nutter Rabinowitz, the Dikduke Seifrim. He has all the different Shas now printed, and all the different Pirushim, and also the mistakes, the problems. The man was an incredible encyclopedia, and he shows the different places where they put in a Marshal instead of Rashi. So what we have is a line of Rashi, is a line of Marshal, and sometimes Marshal made a comment, and the person thought that's supposed to be the Girsa, and he put it in. There were problems that happened because of it, but by and large, the Marshal himself, he was the first Gadol. You know, the Baal HaTosfos dealt with Girsos. They tried to prove one Girs right of the other. They answered Girsos. He was Magia. So he was really the father of making those changes. So his yeshiva was very pshat oriented, and you know, and Girsos, which are it's an intrinsic part of pshat. Versus Rav Shalom Shachter's yeshiva, who was extremely mafalpul, and if you're very bright, you really sort of shone when you could do like 100 kashas to answer with 100 terutzim and show it's all the shitase. So he had talmidim who would leave him and go to the other yeshiva. It was like, you know, it was the shtadiya yeshiva. I don't know about shiduchim, but a kalpanim in terms of COVID. So he writes in Shuvat HaZayin. He writes about it's a tshuva to deal. It's a chosh mishpatik tshuva, and then he writes over here. He says, "I even if you'll bring me rayas," he says, "from all sorts of achronim, I'm not going to change my mind about the halacha." And he says, "Ki choshemar be'ena b'sichla azach." You are just as chashev to me because I admire your seichel, your das. That's very yasher. Unless I find fakert in the Gemara or in goinim, as oidav loy evosh. Kibavan Seinor Rabbi says mamridim talmidai hamordim poishemi. Somebody is setting my talmidim against me, who rebel against me. And they think they can rely on the old man, meaning Avshalom Shachne, and his son the Goyen, may they live me well. They are really making me extremely upset. They are causing me tremendous health and issues and stress issues. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at my tzar. Or you should take their cruel heart and make it human again. Or you should give me the strength to save myself and my talmidim from them. Even while in my enemy's country, and they have the upper hand. Le'moas ve'gol Hashem le'hafe b'yisita. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not to let me go. Ve'hir ba'gvuli b'talmidim agunim mikol dal kitzvaretz. And he's given me a tremendous amount of talmidim from all parts of the world. Ve'im kekoitzim b'neim. And they're upset about it. Rachman Alefa Zekman Mishnah Edlo and Hakadosh Baruch Hu should save you from such terrible tsaros. Chai Hashem Shlai Oymed Marvin Sayila, I assure you, you'd never be able to hold up under this stress. Afilu Chodesh Yamim, even a month you couldn't hold up. Kiloy Nisa, you've never been tested this way. Vezach Hashem Zachayim, you've been Zechat to two words. Ken Yir La'ad Yir Kizad Ad. That's a tshuva that Mashal wrote to somebody expressing his pain and suffering over the situation where his yeshiva is, where there's this this fight and between yeshivas and so on. I saw somebody brought somewhere that I think it was after Mashal was nifta, certainly after Shalom Shachner was nifta, and so the yeshivas used to be very, there would be a lot of fighting and arguing between the Talmidim, and the people in the town really were upset. So they made a gzeira that Talmidim were not allowed to talk to and learning to each other of the two yeshivas. So once, one of the Talmidim was really very eager to speak in learning, and I guess somebody from Mashal's yeshiva asked the other one, it was not a Mashal anymore, I believe, but it was the same derech, same halach. He asked somebody from there about pshat and something or other. I don't remember. He found a het to how to get around and not speak and learning. And the other one told him a huge pilpul to answer it. And he told him, well, by us, they simply were magi and they added a vav. So it's two separate terutzim, and there's no problems. So they started, it brought a fist fight, and they restarted fighting again. I think people took their learning very seriously in those days, and it was something that they were very, very upset about. We said the Marshal was extremely broad, and he wrote, besides the Yom Shel Shlomo, which is all of Shas, besides the fact that he paskin everywhere and anything, he also was extremely, he wrote on Diktuk, the siddur that he has, and our siddur today, we have a siddur that's considered, Reb Shapsi's siddur is considered like the best siddur, that was like Talmidim of his, and they bring of his a lot. He was a master of Diktuk. He was in Kabbalah. He actually wrote a sefer in Kabbalah, and he also he had the Agoras. He had Kisayodis. He also, someone asked him in Tshuva Simen Choftes. Someone asked him about the Maseres HaTorah, the Kabbalah Maseres HaTorah. How did it go? So he says, I never had any formal Kabbalah about it. But he said, if you learn the Paiskim, you can figure it out yourself. And he has a huge list. He goes from the Goinim all the way down to his Tkufa, that he lists who taught whom and who learned by whom and who was where, simply by just working out in his head. It's like every Sefer, who does he bring? And how does he bring him, as a Talmud, as a Rebbe, as a Chaver? And he was able to figure it out writing it like this. In other words, modern historians will go through all this forum, like, who does the Rajba mention? How does he mention him? And they sit years and they work it through. And he, off the cuff, in other words, the guy said, you asked me about the Maseres HaTorah, I don't have anything, but if you learn Paiskim, well, it's obvious, it goes like this, like this, like this, and it just names who got who. There's a very interesting footnote. So at the end of that Shuvah Choftes, his grandson, or the Matfis says that the Shuvah is not complete, but he found a second Shuvah, and in which the Marshal writes about his own Yichus and his own family. By the way, he had a Yichus, and he writes from Rashi. He has a Ksav Yichus, he said, that he goes all the way to Rashi. And he writes all the different Chasha people, but this is a fascinating one. He says, V'zoyz v'acheres, Oysar Abonis Muris Miriam. I think this is his great-grandmother. I can't keep track of all the people here, but I think it's his great-grandmother. Her name was Miriam. Tofsa Yeshiva Kama Yomi Vishanim. She sat and learned many years. V'yoshva be'oihel, and she sat in an oil vilon in and a curtain in front of her, ve'omra halacha lefnei bachurim uflogim, and she would say halacha for ve'yachash v'bachurim. Kach kibalti mavoyse b'ksavu balpeh. So she was one of the few incredible women who actually taught halacha and so on. That's what he writes over here. It's in Simuchav Tes in his Truvas. You can look it up. And it's interesting, it's one of the few women who were known. The Sma's wife was also like that, known to be a tremendous, Yad and somebody. But he writes this. He writes in his Truvas, there's two things that come out, especially when you learn Truvas. They, first of all, give you a sense of the problems of the generation, the issues, you see the type of issues that come up, and also some of the things around them. So, and both the way in which they live with Goyim and also with in the way in which they interact with others. So in Chochmah Shlomo, there is, besides every so often, he also speaks about things that are contemporary because it's sort of a huge halacha compendium. So he writes about things that are current. In his Akdama to Baba Kama, which I think must have been his first or his primary work, he explains what he holds about a Derech HaLimud, what he holds about who he can argue with, and basically he says Shas and Kabbalah Segoinim is absolute, and everybody else, it's Rayas and so on and so forth. He's Mayrach a lot about that. But I want to go through a few things that he writes in both in Yamshel Shlomo and in Truvas that are interesting in terms of what they shed on that generation. So, first one is in Yevamis. In Yevamis, he speaks about Geirus, in the Sugya Geirus. So, he's this is very typical. He has simonim on every perik. And Geir Shebar Miskayim Tchelos, he brings like the Gemara, and then he brings Pilpul in it, in other words, all the Shitas and Deis, and he writes that he's bringing all the Shitas in, because he wants people to know that the halacha that he's writing is based having taken all Shitas into account. But he writes about Geirus, something very fascinating about what was the situation with the Goyim in those days. So he speaks about how you Mekabla Geir, what you tell him so on. Or Mekol Mekoyim, Nira, the Kolzeis Ayrib is actually so true Mal Artsa. This was all true when Klai Yisrael lived in Eretz Yisrael. Afilach HaChorban, Shei Dvuyim and Ishtabdul Melchraimi, even though they were under the king of Rome, Mekol Mekom HaYisorim Ba'artsam, they had autonomy, V'ashus HaYisinosem, Kol Mishon Artsam is Gaia. In Rome, by the way, if a Goy mauled, they would kill him. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't care much. Eretz Yisrael was sort of autonomous. Sheikh LeKabel, Avoli says, Achshav shana be'eretz lo lanu, we're in a country that's not ours. Ukavodim tachsiyat ha'neim, we're really like slaves. Im yovo echt mi'isro lekablo, if a Jew will try to be mekabla ger, harei umerit b'malchus, he's considered a traitor. Umischaye b'nafshoy, and he deserves to be killed. V'koshke sapachas. V'alkeina ni mazev v'ayim, I'm warning, kol mi shemeshut of the Kabbalah zu, ha'idna b'mkoyim shamalchus makpedes, anyone who's partner to accepting a ger where the government is so makped, domi b'roishay, he's committing suicide. And b'ina mis'asik ma b'ger shaloi, the people help me come a ger, b'ina yadea mi men, or people know about him. Halavai, we should survive the Golas and not worry about adding more people from outside. So obviously it was very dangerous, and we have stories all the time about people being killed and so on for doing things for being Megaya, the famous the Ger Tzedek and so on. He has here about killing Moisrim, he speaks in Baba Kama. He has over here in Yevamis. So he has a piece over here. Let's see. He speaks about also about a Moiser, and he speaks about the type of punishments they would give him, the type of punishments they shouldn't do. Very, very. It was obviously something that was frequent. And he talks about it. It's strong. It's a little on the strong side. And I won't repeat it. But if you want to take a look, it's above a comma. And they would basically mutilate somebody who was a meiser, and he said you either kill him or don't. But driving a person to become worse is not good. He speaks here in Gittin. He speaks about what was some of the problems of that generation, and he speaks about people making all sorts of songs and so on. Let me just hear. So he says like this. He says he speaks about the issur to sing bismanazel, not to sing in the Gemara in Gittin. Now he says, "Umeato libi bor katanur." I'm really, really very upset. My heart's burning. Al am Hashem shniku bishmam bachuri Hashem am haKodesh Klal Yisrael, who's called the Am Hashem, shehem shoysim b'minei zemer. They have drinking parties with all sorts of song. V'kam avinus b'yadam, and it brings a lot of averus. Ha'avin Arishin says first avera. Mihitalam liyus b'machal echad m'apsulos. Who is matem to dance with the girls? Loizu ader shalonu chasid meshainim. That's not the way we were taught. Because the dorsh, they said os tisma pesulah b'machal b'churim skenim yachdov. Mashma the b'churim dance with the skenim and the psulos in the machal vadon. Vafilu osid lovo. It says kavuchay meidna shasakim mirakid b'yoyse vader parats bechet. So who allowed you to do mixed dancing? And then he says, that's first of all one problem. Then he says, you're going to ask him from the Gemara about Yom Kippur. It says they would go out and watch the girls dancing. He says, first of all, they didn't dance together, chas v'shalom. They would look far away and see them. And it was only Hashem Shemayim that if they felt that she was suitable, they would get married. And they were yoytzei the mitzvah of their oisa. Masha'in came today, where all they're doing is just for unclean thoughts, that certainly is terrible. Hasheni, the second problem with these drinking parties, they do it on Shabbos Yontiv, and they have the goy sing or play music, and the oivim shum shvus. There was a heter for Nisuin. By essentially, I got married Friday night. I would have known about this heter. We would have tried maybe getting an Arab to play or something. But Akoponim, that's the second thing that he says. So they had Goyim playing. And he says that heter is only dafka for even the Rav Yoshi, who he's arguing with. Hashlishi, she'ovrim al tismach Yisrael begil kamim el gil kamim dafila zimra de puma asa kavchem zimra de mana v'roiva einshim she'iskarti and so on. So all of these things he says they're doing, and then he paskins. He says, and this is a famous one. V'aseina rabin ha'idna ovrim oisei shuke eish le'neura. It says in Gemara when men and women are singing together, it's like a fire in flax. In other words, the fire of taiva burns rapidly. And he says, "Besimchas nesuin, kishim es arvim noshim noshim yachad, al kein kasati v'kam deksubeshein levor shasimchu b'oinoi, v'noshim noshim yeshim b'ayis echad. V'she'ein simcha kadosh baruch hu b'moinoi b'ayis esha." He says, to make shasimchu b'moinoi, when you have a mixed event, is a shekev, because the kadosh baruch hu is not happy at all with it. And so it's interesting, it's quite a famous piece over here that is Machmanit. He then writes about what the matziv of Rabbanis was like. He says, this is in Baba Kama, 8th Perek, Nunches. Ki bavenseinu rabim hanisyonos merubin, dinisyonos, there are a lot of nisyonos there, vayodimu otin, and we know very little. The people know it very little. V'she'ein echod maki mekoymei. V'umiyad kshu nismach. As soon as somebody gets smicha, he right away begins to become a big shot. Ulekabitz bachurim behind otik. He pays brachim to come learn by him. Kederach ha-seichrim, asorim sh-seichrim avodim lords of nehem. Like sorim hire avodim to run for them, so they hire bochrim to prava for them. V'hine oisem nikru sholim k'tanim sh-chavim k'ashem tzvokas k'ashoramba. V'cheni says, yesh skenim ha-seiram, there are older people sh-afil ha-sugi de-shmaitzim v'hine ha-tachlis. They don't understand ha-sugi ha-shmaitza. V'yodim k'shar ha-loch ha-klal. They don't understand well ha-sugi, rak skenim b'shal, they're old people. They weren't kind of chachma, and they tried to boss around the tzibur and the lomdim, and they make haramim, and they mati haramim, they give smicha, and they get a lot of money for it. Oilon aloy sebusha, sh'an she'emuna yoydidas nevodu, and even if sometimes you have a person who's very smart and big lamdan, he has very bad maisim, and he's not learning to be kind of mitzvah. He just wants to be marach the pulpul gad l'Hashem, which is a jab on the other yeshiva. Ubederech su holcha achshav kol ha-talmidim. Ve'ad Rabbi says, mal'igim achshav al eizit sumer rabbanen she'medaktik nizim mitzvah Hashem v'yisar mitzvah toivim. They laugh at a Talmud Chochem who's medaktik in mitzvahs and does what he's supposed to do, and he's nizim in mitzvahs kalim, u'mispal b'leisach hadas v'kivim godl. And he davens with kavona, kitzchoyku b'en ha-talmidim, and they laugh at him. And this is a terrible chil Hashem, he says, and I myself have seen how cities have been destroyed through this, and people made fun of real Talmid Chachamim, and this is called Avos Nezikin, on and on and on. Incredibly sharp. He has, he speaks about Minhagim. He says, this is in Tshuva Tesvav, that the only Minhagim that have a din Minhag is if they're chachamim, talmid chacham, who kaveit. The fact that people started doing like that is not a minhag. He also writes about Anshei Ashkenaz. This is in Siman Ayin Beis. Someone asked him about, can he eat if he's not wearing a yarmulke, because it's hard for him to wear a yarmulke. It's very heavy, whatever it is, the hat is heavy. So I guess, first of all, the limits chus is those yarmulkes were much more substantial now, yarmulkes. You know, a small yarmulke is not difficult. But he writes, and so he writes about saying a brach without a yarmulke and eating out a yarmulke. And then in it, he writes like this. The Achshav, he says, Ani agala es kloin Ashkenazim. I'm going to speak out against the German Jews. Bevadai, misheshoyse yainesach b'molon shel goyim. Somebody who sits and drinks yainesach in a goyish hotel. Va'oichel dogim v'usholim b'klishem. And eats fish that they cooked. Va'machmehu shemayim lepundik eshtoy bishabor. Now the chumra is that you ask the goy cooking, tell me, did you put any meat? And she says, no. So that's the chumra. Those are the frum ones. Ein choyshin achrov v'loy boykachov. People have no problem with it. V'noegim by covid imu asher v'takiv. And if he's wealthy and strong, they're very mechabedim. He's a big tzaddik. U'misha oichel v'sheise behechsher. But somebody who eats and drinks stuff that's kosher, in other words, he's medactic, but he's not wearing a yarmulke, that they say is a shegetz. Al Kain, he says, he should be careful, because it's not worth your while to get in trouble with them. Vim covid alav laniach al roish dvar covid chasoy shebeged pishtim dakar meshes. So take a yarmulke instead of a hat. Use a yarmulke. In other words, he holds that meikar din there's no chiyuv, but he says since people consider you a shegetz, you shouldn't do it. And he says, but he says, you know, there are people that eat things that are basically treif and asa, but they wear a big yarmulke, and that's fine. But if chas v'shalom, somebody who's medaktik in halacha doesn't wear a yarmulke, that's terrible. Quite sharp. Finally, there's in Tshuvas HaRamah, there is an incredible back and forth between him and the Ramah. It's in Tshuvas HaRamah Vav and Zayin, and I'll tell you a little bit the background of it. There was a shaila in Hilchos Treifos that the Ramah wrote. Now the Ramah was a cousin with the Marshal, younger. The Marshal liked him a lot. Marshal was they had tremendous yedidus, and yet this tshuva is incredible tshuva. The Ramah wrote to try to speak about about being down on a certain type of growth, whether it's treif or not. And he quotes Aristotle as a smach to what he says. In other words, the way Aristotle Aristotle has books in biology. He uses Aristotle as a smach. The Marshal goes ballistic, and the Marshal tells him, first of all, you're using. First of all, he holds he's wrong in halacha, and he dings up with him in halacha. He goes to town against him with writing about how Aristotle has been machshel so many people, and some people went off the derech, and what are you doing looking and learning it? And he says, besides the fact, instead of learning Aristotle and philosophy, you do a lot better if you learn Dikduk, because your letter is terrible. I'm serious. This is a tshuva, and it's a tshuva back and forth between Mashal and Rama. He says you mix up Zach and Akeva, you mix up the Avir Afsid, and he said, you know, you really should do something about that. That is important. The Rama, it's very interesting. The Rama answers him very calmly, and he writes that this is Ava. You know, there's an expression, like my language is sharp, but my heart is full of love. And so it's an expression you find a lot of times in Sfarim when they want to write something sharp to somebody and say, listen, it's because I like you so much and I care so much as that, that's why I'm writing so. And the Rama answers him. First he says, you know, there's so much hidden love in your letters. and he says, and he writes, he says, you know, I basically don't want to answer you because it's just going to get you more upset, more excited. And he says, you know, Aris, it's a machlokas rishonim about studying philosophy. There are many rishonim who hold it's fine. I do it in times that are aroi. Yes, I don't know dikduk, but I don't think it's the most terrible avla. And the kufa shalinyan, here's my reply in Allah. The Rama is very calm. But there was a tremendous mutual admiration. You do see it, and you see it in other places also. The Marshal did not hesitate to be machiach him, and he said it. So I guess, let's try just, I guess, to sum up. The Marshal himself was a tremendous ishemis, a tremendous kanoifemis. The Chazanish writes about someplace, it was in Gehan Lachik Shaila, he says his words are written Ruch HaKodesh, and Yosomech Hanim La'alocha for that. He was a Rebbe of many of the great people in the first Dorotan Chum in Poland. The things that he made that change, as despite with all of his suffering, but you see it changed. We don't have any sfarim left over from that previous base medrash of Pilpulim and Chalkim. It disappeared. It disintegrated. The Marshal, the Marshal, the Maram, the Balei Pshat, we have it. The fact that the Marshal was Magia de Shas, that's an incredible job. Today you have a whole machon sitting on doing these things. He did it single-handedly. He went through everything that he touched, and he bought tremendous amounts. I mean, the Duktuk Sofim was much later, and access to great libraries, admires. I mean, he had kisuyotas that we don't have. He had tremendous patience and went through it, and was Magia. And everyone know today when we learn and we get stuck on something, we see the difference between, you know, where Avav makes all the difference between a bewildered, like Rashi will say, two things together, and you can't figure out what he means. And if the Avav is in the right place, you know it's two things or whatever it is, you understand it. It makes, so he changed, despite the fact that he himself seemed to have tremendous agmas nefesh over people preferring the other derech, but he created that change. His tremendous, I mean, his siddur that he wrote, never published, but his Talmud, Reb Shapsi Seifer, wrote the definitive siddur that was the Vadal Rotzis, put their stamp and seal of it, the imprimatur on it, and they said this is the siddur to copy all siddurim from, and a lot of it comes from the Marshal. The Marshal was, his Teichach and his Musa, I'll assume that it had Hashpa on the door, but certainly the fire of what he writes and the sense of a person who wasn't afraid to say the emes, no matter how difficult it must have been. I'm sure it didn't win him any friends. The people, the wealthy people that he writes about, I'm sure were not were not happy about what he wrote over here. But he was in a mood of emes. And the fact that the Polish Jewry, Poland, Eastern Europe, a lot of Eastern Europe wasn't included in it, but Moravia, a lot of Eastern Europe was under that area. Poland at that time was a kingdom that stretched from the Baltic to the Black Sea. It was an incredibly big kingdom at the time and included a lot of what we would consider. At the end of the day, they were the ones, he, and probably being that he was the Zaken in that era, established Torah in a way where this for the next few hundred years would be Torah in Klal Yisrael. He wasn't Zeicher that his Yamshel Shlomo became the Psak Sefer, and that was left for the Mechab and the Ramah. But in terms of putting down hidden Yesodis, in terms of sticking to the Mitashel, learning up something, the Mitashel Dava, not going off into Pilpulim that really have no basis in the sense of Yiddishkeit and Ehrlichkeit. You see a lot of things, like they write about people who normally are learning, but they're Mezalzon, Kalidas, and they make fun of somebody who's Ehrlich and devoted. Things don't change all that much. I mean, it touches on many things that he touches on. Touch on many things that that plague our generation. We saw it a little bit in Mashal when you write about certain things that were going on that we wouldn't think is unusual to write for our door. Kaponim, his yard site is Yud Gimel Kislev. He lived to be only 63 approximately. That's by the numbers that they have. And yet he accomplished a huge amount. The Sfarim, Yom Shalom is really a yam. If you take a look at it, he basically incorporates everything in it. The Chochma Shlomo, the Zagos that are spread all over, incredible work. His other stuff that we don't have, the Siddur, the stuff in Kabbalah, we have something published. It was an incredible amount that was able to accomplish, tremendous Yisurim. And that was another important pillar in the Torah of Klal Yisrael.